Shortly after this episode, my parents took me to the doctor to see what my options were. Option one was a pill I'll call Dehydramax 5000. I hope to God this medication went the way of leeches and the lobotomy, because not only did it keep my bed dry, it also kept my mouth, throat, and eyeballs at the same moisture level as the ash at the end of a generic Russian cigarette. Eventually, my blinks became audible across the dinner table, and my parents decided I should quit taking it. Option two, which we tried next, was a special alarm that my mom had to order from some pre-internet catalog of horrors. I can remember the package coming in the mail, opening it up, staring at it more intently than anything I'd ever received from Santa, and thinking, is this the thing that will save me? Will the thing in this box help me be like other boys? The alarm consisted of a sensor that attached to a wire, which ran to a tiny box that emitted a terrifying shriek if it detected any moisture. It was so sensitive that even the moisture on one's finger would set it off. It slid into a pocket that my mom had sewn on the front of a pair of my underpants. The wire ran up to the alarm, which adhered to a Velcro patch she had sewn onto the shoulder of one of my white T-shirts. Perhaps the pee sensor industry has since graduated to some sort of waterproof Bluetooth alarm that makes the wire superfluous, but in 1987 it was an essential component which created a problem. The alarm was designed for children who are usually short. I was not. In fact, I was the tallest kid in my school. Thus, the wire wasn't long enough to reach from the pocket on the front of my little underpants up to the patch on the shoulder of my shirt. So at night, when I slid into my little white cotton shame suit, I had to hunch down as though I had terrible scoliosis and lurch over to my bed, already hating myself. Then I'd slither between the sheets and lie there, awaiting the inevitable. But since I did indeed sleep as deeply as my pediatrician had suggested, I always slept right through the alarm and had to be shaken into consciousness at ungodly hours of the morning by one of my bleary-eyed parents as I lay there in a piss-soaked bed with a shrill robot scream boring into my disoriented brain. As I experimented with the alarm, a miraculous thing happened. My brain and bladder fused a better, if sometimes still faulty, connection, simply because I was getting older, so I began to wet the bed less and less, thus freeing me of those horrible aids. A couple of years after my experience with the alarm, I got drunk for the first time when my friend John's older sister threw a party at their house. I drank three or four cans of Budweiser, and boy oh boy did I like the way I felt. I remember an older guy punching me very hard in the arm when I said I didn't think Ride the Lightning was Metallica's best album. Another guy threw me off John's back porch into a rose bush. An adult man wearing a T-shirt with a swastika on it stuck a joint in my face, and I was too afraid not to smoke it. I later recognized his face on the front page of the Marblehead Reporter. He was in court, in handcuffs, giving the photographer two middle fingers. He'd been arrested for spray-painting the names of concentration camps all over a temple in town. I was drunk that night, though, so none of that fazed me. I'd found a new ally of sorts, and it made things like physical pain just disappear. And that made the return of the bedwetting worth it. For a while, anyway. It's funny to think that I wet the bed for slightly longer as a drunk than I did in my youth. With my wife's recent pregnancy, I learned that babies even go pee-pee inside their mommy's tummy. So I peed while sleeping from shortly after conception till age 25, at which point I had a hairy chest and weighed just under 200 pounds. 25. A silver golden anniversary, if you will. But you shouldn't, because it's a mess.